The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the program today James Lee Burke. He joins us on the telephone in Montana. Welcome back, Jim.
Well, thank you. Invite me to after all these years. I think we're about 30 years.
Yeah, you're right, Jim. 1997 was our first interview. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. That's it, right?
And you keep writing books, and I keep talking to people like you about the books. It's a great combination. And you've got this new one, and it's a Dave Robichaux. And is this the longest Robichaux ever? I mean, this is a big, thick book.
Yeah, it is. It's my longest Robichaux book.
It's called The How to Call Boogie. And some of our listeners probably have never heard of How to Call. What the heck is it?
Well, it's a vitamin cure. And it was on the market in Louisiana back in the 1940s. Everybody in Louisiana remembers that. It's called Had a Call, meaning I had a cold. Well, the bottle was full of vitamins and also alcohol, because you could get plastered without any hangover.
I see.
Everybody in Louisiana knows what Had a Call is.
So it was the sure cure.
Sure cure.
Okay. Well, okay, this is the Had a Call Boogie, and Dave Robichaux is back with Cleet Purcell. And we probably have one or two listeners out there who have never read these books. And I understand this is book number 26. Tell us who these guys are.
It's the 25th book in a series that is narrated by a police officer who is sometimes not a police officer. But anyway, his name is Dave Robichaux, and it changed my certainly a number of books that I would sell. It's just one of those things. Something has occurred that has changed not simply a little city in Louisiana. It's about the earth, and something is occurring, and that it's something like, oh, maybe in the Bible might be, oh, just people who look over a shoulder and hear a rumbling of things. And I think it's a really unusual book.
And as it opens, you made me think about Ed McBain, because Ed McBain told me one time, he said, well, I don't really have a formula, but if I did, it would allow for a corpse to be discovered almost immediately. And I think Ed would be pretty pleased with the beginning of your story.
Well, that would be so, yeah. But it's larger than that. It's again, it's like looking at the northern lights, you know, or looking at my heavens, or where you actually hear music. It's those moments that where you step kind of right in a hole, right into the hands of maybe God, who knows? I don't mean that it's what I guess people would call religion. It is, I think, what I've always felt, what's the great mystery. Mm. That's the big one. And people my age were counting on solving the great mystery. But when we get up here, we're still working on it.
Uh-huh. In case you're just tuning in, my guest is James Lee Burke. We're talking about his new book, The How to Call Boogie. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, sharing community voices through inspired storytelling. Jim, you have an approach to time that is a little different than some of us. Explain your concept of time.
Well, it's one that my father had. He believed that the time was not sequential. And he believed that the past, the present, and what we think is the past are separate. Instead, all of those things are just one thing. They are existing in probably the dream or the thoughts of God. And because there are things that cannot be expressed because we don't even have the vocabulary to use those things. It's like saying, where is the end of eternity? Well, what's on the other side of it? Or where's the other side of gravity? None of those things can be spoken about. We have it. The Greeks did the best in over the 4th B.C., in Plato. He gave us the words we could use, but we still haven't worked it out. And here's the great thing, the biggest mystery is, why is it that most people don't have any interest in it?
Mm-hmm.
What about it? Mm-hmm. The big one is not the one people are thinking about.
Uh-huh.
They're yawning.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless them, but
yeah.
I don't mean to be. Oh, I don't want to take other people's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, Jim. Jim, in this story, as I mentioned, there's a murder at the beginning, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say that this victim has been found in a garbage bag. I think this is symbolic of the way that this poor person was being treated by a society.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to – yes, you're absolutely correct. It's I don't want to give things away, but – I'm not. Think of it this way: we live today in a republic, but that republic was born in the colonial era, back in the 18th century, and of course, that's where slavery occurred and was, brought here in 1619. And we haven't yet decided what we're going to do about it. Right now, just right this minute, is an example of it. I was born in the 1936. I never thought I would see what has occurred in our nation, in our republic. I think they would be horrified, people like Washington and Jefferson and Monroe, and it doesn't matter, they're slaves. They were trying to get rid of it, but they would be horrified if they looked at what we're doing today.
Yeah. Well, in this one, I don't think I've ever seen Dave so on edge. It seems like the only moments of peace he has are when he's with his daughter, Alifair, who has come to see him in this book. And meanwhile, he's about ready to blow up all the time, and so is his buddy, Cleet Purcell. He's got a real edge to him, and I see a lot of reasons for this. Of course, there's this murder. He's really upset about that. And we keep getting this backstory. We keep getting flashbacks. Readers of your series are familiar with the accident that took the life of his dad. You've talked about that a lot in previous books, but we learn a lot more about his mother's life in this story, and this really enrages Dave to think about what happened to her.
Yeah. Well, his mother was a Cajun, and his father, too. And they spoke English, and she was illiterate, and she worked in a laundry with women of color. And she was paid 20 cents an hour and 40 cents an hour. That was a big breakout, 40 cents. I remember in the 50s, 40 cents an hour. And the people who were parts of the plantation culture have always been there. It's always been there. And that there's that looking over the shoulder, and there is the rich, and there is the poor man. And it's still there, partner, Louisiana.
Mm.
It's not Louisiana. It's been since Fred Flintstone.
Okay.
There's Whitey sitting up there on the porch watching everybody else pick his cotton.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there on the Pacific Rim. Oh, look at us. Look where we are, for heaven's sakes. And just the Philippines, the Pacific Rim. That's the new cotton pickers. That's it. And that's not cynicism. It's what they do.
You're saying the plantation culture has been transported to Asia.
Correct.
Okay. And those sweatshops that they've got.
That's it. You bet.
Okay.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. James Lee Burke joins us. His new one is The Had a Call Boogie. And you are really good at introducing characters who we're not sure who these people are. We don't know if they're good or bad or a mixture of both. And early in the story, you introduce a character named Boone Hendricks.
Yeah.
And he's a classic character as far as who is this guy? Is he even real?
Uh-huh. He's a good character. He really is. We find this fellow. He's a handyman, you know, fellow that put up a new fence for a patcher house. But he's from New England, and a fellow that seems to have strayed into New Iberia, Louisiana. But he seems to have a way of understanding the people, the simple people who struggled day by day. And then we realize that his children were killed during a schoolhouse slaughter.
And, yeah, that's more than I expected you to tell us. Okay. And then there's a guy in here who's Dave's boyhood friend. He's another one, Jerry Carlucci. We don't know if this guy's a bad guy or a good guy. We think he's probably a bad guy, but we're not sure.
Yeah, well, that's it. He's a mystery, too. Carlucci runs a brothel or a semi-brothel and a gambling place. And he and Dave were friends when they were boys, and then they both went to Vietnam. And when Carlucci came back, he was a bad dude, but sometimes not a bad dude, but his scars are great.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's what he is actually trying to recover is his soul.
Mm. The book is The Had a Call Boogie. James Lee Burke joins us on the telephone in Montana today. And this is our 25th conversation since 1997. I think we've got 22 straight books under our belts here where we've talked about them. And it's just such a pleasure to talk to you every time, Jim. And there's another character in here who seems to be just as angry as Dave and Cleet are. And her name is Valerie. Tell us about her.
Well, she's a young woman. She's a black lady in St. Martinville, and she becomes a policewoman in Dave's place there and in the sheriff's office. And she's a remarkable woman, and there's some bad guys that give her a real bad time. And Dave tries to help her, of course, and she falls in love with him. But anyway, Dave is a man of honor, and he doesn't want to take advantage of her. But Dave's, you know, is still in his 60s, and he's in good shape. And he's a handsome fellow, and he's a good man. I got to say, he and Cleet are good guys.
They really are, and they're pretty much inseparable. They're like two sides of a coin, as you've said in the past.
That's right.
We have another situation here where Valerie's really upset about a number of things. But one in particular is the case of someone named Willie Francis. Now, is this a real person?
Oh, yeah. Every inch of pulp that's in that paper on my pages, that's the truth. That's what happened. And those are the names. And that terrible thing happened in 1948. It's a boy was electrocuted twice. The first time burned because the electrocutioners were drunk.
Was that in Angola?
In Angola.
Mm-hmm.
That's where. I don't know right. There are two electrocutions. Because in Louisiana, the electric chair used to travel. It would be driven, and it had big generators on the truck. The people who do that kind of thing, is usually a two or three, would go from parish to parish.
So they had portable
story.
They had portable electrocutions.
Yeah. That's how it's done.
Ick. That's horrible. Well, okay. Well, you have some people in here who are definitely villains. We're sure they're villains. And you do such great villains. Lloyd Dangeau is one of them. And the other one is a guy named Sidley Ludlow. I guess you have more than one that are definitely villains. Elton Foote's another one. Elton Foote, what a nasty character.
Yeah, this is a really nasty guy. Yeah, that's it.
But we still feel sympathy for him because he's come from some troubled background, hasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is quite a book, Jim. And I'm wondering, since we've had so many interviews and I've asked you so many questions about your books over the years, I'm wondering what's on your mind. Obviously, you've got some things on your mind right now. What are you thinking about these days?
Well, it's all political, and of course, but politics goes back to a culture. It's the 1840s. It started with the Know Nothing group, the Know Nothing policy or party, and we stepped right into it, and we've of course gone right back to a kind of shady and antebellum view of has really nothing to do with antebellum things, but it's been stolen. It's just like the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag was the flag of Robert E. Lee. It was a flag of honor. And today it represents something else. I remember someone said that the great sin is that it is we who stole that flag. It's a flag now of Klansmen and really bad guys.
A number of years ago, I had a writer named Tony Horowitz on the program. He's died in the last couple of years, but he had a book out called Confederates in the Attic. And after I read that book, I thought, you know, the Civil War isn't over. And reading your books and talking to you, I'm guessing maybe you feel the same way.
it's there, but it was never decided because most of the people who went to the war didn't know what it was about. I mean, it was the Gettysburg Address that changed the issue from 1861 to 1863 by Lincoln. And it was because it was a political gesture, but the other things were involved. But that doesn't mean that it, I mean, slavery was an abomination. This is what William Faulkner wrote and wrote and wrote. That was the message, that this was Eden and he destroyed it. And it's the same thing. It's the story of the Bible. The great sin, the original sin, was the taking the man's flesh, the taking people and turning them into animals, even worse. There are things I didn't know before I wrote this book. I never heard of the 1811 rebellion in New Orleans and what occurred there when there was an a revolution of black people, and I don't even talk about it. In fact, Dave will not do it. He's stunned. When he talks about it, it's horrible. You wonder, Hitler's not the only guy that did bad things. It's just evil. That's what we're talking about. It's evil.
Jim, in the book, you talk a lot about memories of the way Louisiana used to be. Obviously, you're recalling your own time as a younger person in Louisiana and the way it was then and the way it is now. How has Louisiana changed since then?
Well, the ways that people for example, in Louisiana when I was a child and up through my maturity, Louisiana was down in South Louisiana was actually French or is in France. You think that's where you were. Most of the people in the countryside could not speak English. You know, that's I'm talking about in the 1950s, and of course the people who ran the school systems decided that they would ban the French language in other places. They were not encouraged, but anyway, they wanted to learn in English, but that's not the way to do it. But anyway, time rolls on, but the Edenic countryside began to be eaten up, and it's on many levels been degraded, and it's what happens when people get greedy. And you cut down trees that are hundreds of years old. You just want to get down and weep.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way. You just weep. You can't undo it. Oh Lord, I've seen things, and when the developers would cut the trees at night, so that people can't have a chance to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a little kind of, it's obscene.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I read your stuff pretty closely, Jim, and I remember things that have happened in previous books. So I always get a kick out of the little references that I pick up on. Like at one point, Dave is actually reading a book. He's relaxing, and it's by Andre Debuse the Younger. And I got that one, you know, because I know you're related to Andre. There was another one where Sidney Ludlow turns up. We've got these hoodlums who want to build casinos down there. And when he spots Cleet, he doesn't really remember him. Then he's like, oh, he remembers something that Cleet did. Wasn't it in Swan Peak, maybe, that happened in Montana, where Cleet did something naughty?
Oh, you mean putting sand in the airplane's gas tank?
You're right.
Mafiosa, then it flies into the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some suspicion there.
Right.
In fact, he addresses the reader a couple of times, and he didn't do it. But anyway, it got done, but he didn't intend to.
Yeah.
But nothing lost on this group.
Yeah. Well. Well, Jim, it's always such a treat to have you on the show. And the new one by James Lee Burke is The How to Call Boogie. And I always ask you this. And you never really want to tell me very much, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What are you working on?
Well, I'm writing a new one. I haven't finalized the title, but I think it's a very unusual book. It has to do with Under Ocean. It's Clayton. David, but they go underwater. They go chasing pyramids on the continental shelf.
Dave and Cleet? This is a Dave and Cleet book?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and you're in Montana right now. What kind of have you been short on snow out there?
No, we don't have any.
Uh-huh.
It's green out there.
That's weird.
Nobody I know has ever experienced it. I've never seen this happen, and that's what we're talking about. It's climate change. It's not change. It's hot.
Yeah. Well, Jim,
it's the 14th century.
Uh-huh. We've got a foot of snow out here. I'm going to put some in a dump truck and send it out to you, okay?
We'd love it.
All right.
It's always great to be with you and your audience, and there are always people I know that, many people that in your column, so I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure, Jim. My guest has been James Lee Burke. And the new one, it's a Dave Robichaux novel. The longest one yet is The How to Call Boogie. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McKeonis.